This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
I hope everyone's having a great Friday. Carmen and Yurko getting you set for the weekend. Todd Furman live in Vegas in 30. Mike North bonus play at 11:45. Join Mike and me for a full hour of Odds Couple tonight, 7 to 8 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app after Black and Abdallah. The passing of Hank Aaron has been a story today, big national story, one of the all-time greats. Every story you've ever heard about Hank Aaron is that he was an absolute gentleman and wonderful to be around. Never got the opportunity in all these years to interview Hank, but Merck shared a great story about Hank Aaron. He's got it up on his Twitter timeline from a while ago, one of his old fireside chats. Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt, tweeted this: "I'm speechless. Ripped to the greatest of all time, Mr. Hank Aaron. I'm just stunned. Hank was the standard of greatness for me. The one man who I acted like a kid around, starstruck, always. He was the definition of class. God bless you and your family. Hashtag HR King. Hashtag Hammerin' Hank." And a lot of people sharing that sentiment that, no, it's not Barry Bonds who's the all-time home run king. It is the one, the only Hank Aaron, who was gone at the age of 86. So we've got Championship Sunday this weekend. The the fascinating quarterback matchups here, right? The Brady and Rodgers matchup, and then you've got the two young stars and Mahomes, who's almost on a whole different level, I guess, and then Josh Allen, who was really one of the stories of the season. I mean, Josh Allen's transformation from very risky prospect out of Wyoming with the big arm but major inaccuracy issues to where he has come to today is truly incredible. Usually, am I wrong, Yurk? Accuracy problems in college usually lead to accuracy problems in the NFL.
Yeah,
historically,
you are what you are.
Yeah.
Unless somebody can hone you in.
Well, this kid went from his first season in Buffalo, starting 12 games,
right?
Completing 52.8% of his passes.
It's not good.
That's a stat that you'd expect to see, like we talked about, 30 years ago in the NFL.
Yes.
Then it was okay. Today, it'll get you benched.
Right, 68%, 67%, 2 or 3 got to be good.
52.8%. He had 10 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. Then you go into last year, he played a full season, and he did improve a little.
They made the playoffs.
Now the completion percentage goes up to 58.8%. Okay, getting better.
It's improvement, 10% improvement.
And the touchdown-interception ratio is a little bit better than 2 to 1. 20 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. But still some question marks about Josh Allen.
Not a wealth of touchdowns either.
No.
Yeah.
Then you go to this year.
Yes.
69% completion percentage.
Nice. That's a nice completion percentage.
That's where you'd like to be, a 20%.
Nice. 69.
A 20% improvement.
Yes.
Right?
The touchdown interception ratio goes to 3.5 to 1.
Which are the totals? 3.7
to 1, technically.
Totals, Carm?
37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
Whoa, 85% improvement in touchdowns.
I mean,
85% improvement in touchdowns. How many interceptions?
10.
10. Okay, just 3.7. One more interception.
Yeah. How about that on, like, let's plot
that's
the graph.
That's improvement, yeah.
That is...
down here, up here.
It's a meteoric rise, I think is what you'd say.
The x-axis, we're talking about time. The y-axis is productivity.
And it goes like this. Yeah. And if you're watching on Twitch, you can see what we're doing. It's going like this. Yeah. More on that in just a little bit, actually.
Yeah, it looks like Stryker's lifetime stock chart. Just one nice hill going up.
Chuck Schumer had this on his mind. I don't know if you've heard that sound yet. We'll play it in a little bit.
I have. Yeah. Yeah.
This isn't political, believe me. Yeah, it's just funny.
I don't want to say the words, but he tried to say insurrection.
Yeah, we'll play it. Don't worry.
I'm just saying that's the word that was trying to be stated.
So what Josh Allen did is really incredible. Jim Monos was the former director of player personnel for the Buffalo Bills. He was on the Ringer podcast. And there's some interesting stuff in this two-minute chunk as he himself was explaining the rise of Josh Allen and this team. And I'll just let everybody listen and we'll react to it afterwards because it is kind of interesting. But this is Jim Monos, the former director of player personnel for the Buffalo Bills on the Ringer podcast this week.
I mean, you didn't see these signs of franchise quarterback. You were holding your breath if you're the Bills. Terry, our owner for the Bills when I was there, Terry Pegula, he wanted – Patrick Mahomes in the draft, and McDermott didn't want him. I didn't want, like, we didn't want him. The GM, we just thought it was a little risky. We make that trade, we get Trey White, and the Bills, to their credit, Brandon Bean and McDermott took Josh Allen. But until this year, they're holding their breath, and his improvement his accuracy and feel in the pocket. He makes every throw now. He couldn't throw on the run the first 2 years. Those playoff games, he was throwing on the run. I mean, those guys were making great catches on the sideline, but I'm telling you, his improvement is as good as I can think of. I can't really compare him to somebody that had 2 years where he had, and then third year, it's like, dang.
Okay, so you brought up a good point that I think needs exploring. You didn't want Patrick Mahomes. You were a part of the decision-making process. What happened there?
It's a credit to the Terry Pegula and Kim Pegula, the owners. Like, they didn't overstep, but they wanted Mahomes. And Sean McDermott and us as the GMs and personnel staff, we just felt like, hey, we're trying to build this long-term. Let's keep Tyrod Taylor for this year. And let's see what we can do, and let's get some more picks, and let's build this thing, because nobody in our building had conviction on Mahomes being what he is. And obviously, we passed on Michael Jordan, and I talk about that, and I think about it pretty much daily. But I'm happy to see that the Bills have made, you know, they've made the most out of that trade for sure. I mean, to think it could have been a lot worse. I always think about the Bears, you know, they traded up in that draft to take Trubisky.
Thanks.
At least we didn't do that. I mean, at least we got Trey White, and you know, they used that pick to get Josh Allen, too. So.
Thanks,
Jim. I heard a million Bears fans listening to this and going, well, at least we're not going to catch a stray in this. At least it's the Bills who passed on Mahomes. Nope, sorry. It's still the Bears. It's still the Bears' fault, because the Bills made the best out of it.
Thanks for reminding us, Jim Manos.
And that's how wonderfully cruel, like, the NFL is in those circles, that we're not the Bears.
Well, at least we didn't do what the Bears did.
Just
they
so
did.
You know.
Tre'Davious White is a tremendous player.
Yeah.
They did give that pick to Kansas City. And credit to Andy Reid and his staff. Really, you know, we've told the stories. It goes back to last year when they made the Super Bowl, and a lot of the reporting was done on Brett Veach falling in love with Patrick Mahomes after his sophomore season. Forget about even after the junior year, when a lot of people still were like Jim Manos and Sean McDermott. It sounds like they're going, not so sure. Brett Veach fell in love with him after his sophomore season and told Andy Reid, this is our next quarterback. So when I hear the things like, nobody had Mahomes going that high, guys, you're being unfair. Well, obviously somebody did. But anyway, I wish he was our GM, I guess, as a Bears fan. I wish Brett Veach was here, because somebody 3-4 years ago looked at Patrick Mahomes and said, oh, my God.
He's the guy.
I mean, God, that the Pegulas, the owners knew. But Ryan Pace thought, nope, it's Mitch Trubisky. He's our guy. All the mock drafts have him going number one. All the mocks have him going as the first pick.
I'm telling you, I mean, the number one quarterback. For us to be healthy, we got to let it go. I mean, at some point,
they can't let it go.
The Pegulas.
But we let go of Brock versus Broglio, right?
Terry, and what's his wife's name?
The trade. We let that go.
Mr. and Mrs. Pegula.
Kim? Is it Kim Pegula?
Knew that Patrick Mahomes would be better than Mitch Trubisky. But I'm supposed to forget that the general manager didn't know here?
Let it go, man. Okay. For your health, Carl. Okay.
Sure.
For your health.
We let it go, but then people keep reminding us.
I want you to see your grandchildren, man. I want you to see your grandchildren.
Really, we get reminded in the Ringer podcast where they're taking shots at the Bears still.
The Ringer NFL podcast. And then all of a sudden, like, they're talking Bills, Chiefs, nothing. The Bears should not be even mentioned.
Every front office goes into the draft saying, let's not do what the Bears did. Every one of them. That's their warning. Like, their final thing. If they've got the keys to their draft, their final warning, point number 12, let's not do what the Bears did. Okay? That's it. That's
painful.
The final warning.
And to the Bills' credit, it did work out. Now, I mean, like, you'd still be better off with Mahomes, right? Although Josh Allen's really impressive.
Yeah, you'd still rather have Mahomes.
I mean, but they've done well.
Yeah, no, they turned that in. Like Mano said, they turned it into the best probable scenario when you pass on, as he called him, Michael Jordan,
right?
Just to put an emphasis on this, so that's Kevin Clark is the host in that podcast that you hear asking Manos the questions. Mm-hmm. This is how he closed out the podcast at the end, after they, you know, another 30 minutes or so.
All right. Well, I love the fact that we did 30 minutes on this, and the biggest L taken was by Bears fans 20 minutes ago. But this has been incredible. Jim Manos, Nor Princiati, thanks for joining us, guys.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. They did make the best out of a bad situation. You know, you got a great defensive player. You got a quarterback looks like he's entered the conversation for, you know, one of the best in the league, right? I mean, Josh Allen looks like he's there. Does anybody doubt it at this point?
If you're thinking about Buffalo, you know, if Buffalo or Cleveland, which one do you think will backtrack first?
Cleveland.
Right. That's you got to believe that. You got to think that. That probably will happen. The AFC East is a little bit easier right now than the AFC Central. It is. Is it the Central? What is it? The North. AFC North.
The AFC North.
It's a little bit easier. It is.
Like Josh Allen right now, the only reason we just need to see a little bit more of a body of work.
Right.
But like what he did this past year, as you said, you were talking about it with Cap and Hood.
Yeah.
They were on the verge of winning 12 straight.
I mean, they're a Hail Mary away, Yurko. They're a Kyler Murray Hail Mary. They call it the Hail Mary away from riding a 12-game winning streak into Kansas City this weekend. They've won 11 of 12, and the loss was virtually at the gun on a Hail Mary.
And that being said, I'm thinking Kansas City.
No, and I think
that's fine. I'm just, but you'd look at the Bills and say the Bills are, they got something going.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Sean McDermott has fixed them. They've been in the playoffs 3 of the 4 years he's been there.
And they didn't, their defense backslid this year. It wasn't as good. It's been better lately, but it wasn't as good as it was last season. And the running game was virtually non-existent. You know who their running game was? It was Josh Allen. They spread him out wide, and he takes off and picks up 10 yards when everyone's covered.
Yeah, Singletary didn't probably have the kind of, the follow-up year everybody thought, right? And then Zach Moss got hurt in the first playoff game, so he's not
And they weren't
playing.
Really productive in the
Speaking
running game.
Speaking of Zach Moss, did you guys hear what he said, that he thinks Josh Allen, or he's seen Josh Allen throw the ball the entire length of the football field?
Yeah, I've heard that before. Didn't they? I thought they were saying that when he was coming out of Wyoming.
Oh, really? That he could do that?
Yeah.
Zach Moss claims that he's seen it.
Pete's in. Hold on. You know what? We can do a few things here. We'll spread it around.
Go wherever you want.
We got some Chris Bryant stuff and some Bills and some NFL stuff. So we'll spread it around. 312-332-3776. But Dave in Fargo wanted to talk about the Chris Bryant stuff. Dave, what's up?
Hey, guys. My two cents on the Chris Bryant thing, I think I see an athlete that was coddled growing up, little league, high school, college ball, how great he is, how great you're going to be, gets to the show and has a splash his rookie year, has that MVP year, and then I think a couple of things happen. I think he can't stay healthy, and the bigger one of the two, I think, is that I think the scouting reports have figured this guy out, and he hasn't been able to adjust. And I think he's a real head case now, I think, at the plate. And I think that's his biggest issue right now. Signing him to a multi-year contract, whether that's the Cubs or another team, I think you're taking a big chance that you're not going to be happy with that at the end of the contract.
Dave, thanks for checking in and sharing your thoughts. I mean, as a player, I've always been a big Bryant fan. I mean, you know that. I do think, that, and I saw, I thought he was trending to complete superstardom. In his first few years, there's nothing to tell you otherwise. The injuries have hurt Yerk. I don't know what else, if, getting hit in the head, I think it was in Colorado, how much that's affected him. I'm sure it's affected him some. I don't blame him. That's not an easy thing to come back from. I don't know. Some scouting reports, sure. I mean, the launch angle, teams are learning. Let's beat guys with velocity upstairs, to kind of combat the launch angle guys with velocity upstairs. I'd still like to see Chris play a full season, and if he does, I think he's awfully productive. But I understand any trepidation in signing him to a long-term deal, considering the way the last couple of years went.
And they plan on trading him away anyway.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, the plan is still to trade him away. Yeah. They don't want to keep him at this point. He chose not to sign a long-term contract. Right. Now he's going to go out, and he'll become a free agent at the end of the year. Maybe he gets traded before the trade deadline. Maybe he doesn't even see spring training for the Chicago Cubs.
He'll play for $20 million this year.
19 and change, for sure.
19.5 or something like that right here.
Yeah.
All right, more of your phone calls are coming up. Yurko's got some keys to both these games as well. Todd Furman in 15. Sit tight if you're on the phones. We'll take your calls coming up next.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Yurko's keys coming up. Todd Furman, about 12 minutes from now, live in Vegas. Pete's in Buffalo on ESPN 1000. Hey, Pete, you excited for this weekend?
Hey,
I know
guys,
it.
How we doing?
What's up, man?
How
you doing, Pete?
Good. Hey, boy, this city's alive, man. It feels really good to have a winning team out here. I'm 32, so I was, just a little kid when they went to the Super Bowl the first couple of years. And my parents told me that I thought that, the Super Bowl was just something the Bills were in every year. So when they weren't in that last year, then what's going on? Why aren't they playing this day? So
that's funny.
It's really cool. But, I kind of want to make a parallel, because I listen to you guys all the time, and the Bears kind of scared me a little bit for what the Bills are, because I'm a huge Bills fan. There's some parallels with the Bills playoff team last year to the Bears 2018 playoff team, where, they were really carried by their defense, and Their quarterback was there. He wasn't making a whole lot of plays to win games. He was just doing it enough. But the difference is, I guess you guys know, is Mitch didn't progress. And Allen, the jumps that he's made is incredible this year. And it was also a little change in coaching, too. McDermott, when he first came to the Bills, was a big run pass guy, went in the trenches. You know, he would never punt, or he would always punt on fourth down. And now he's going for it all the time. They only ran, I think, one running play in the first half of that playoff game on Saturday night. So it's a whole philosophy that's changed. Of course, you know, getting Diggs helps too, and the weapons they've brought in. But they've just done a great job, and I'm just so excited, man. I can't wait for Sunday. We're playing with house money at this point. I'm ready to start drinking right now. I mean, let's do it.
Pace yourself. Have a good weekend, Pete. Good luck. I think that's an excellent point that you want to know the difference between the two franchises. Their quarterback got better. Unfortunately, ours didn't. Because their defense did regress. Meller made that point, too. They were not nearly as intimidating defensively. They didn't run the ball nearly as well as they did a year ago. But what did happen? The quarterback made an astronomical jump. He made almost like a Brett Favre-esque jump where all of a sudden it clicked. And all that talent they used to see in Brett that they thought, eh, maybe it's going to go to waste because he doesn't get it. Like when it clicked. Right? And Yurko's told it a million times, and he was there in Green Bay for all of that. That's the difference between the Bears and the Bills. The Bills, you know, the Bears' defense started regressing. The quarterback never got any better. In fact, he might have gotten worse. Their quarterback, straight up. Big difference. Hey, Marilyn's in Melrose Park. She wants to talk Hawks real quick. Hawks are bad. Hawks are a home opener tonight with no fans
good
in the stands. What's up, Marilyn?
Gentlemen.
Good
morning. Happy New Year, yes. Hockey
talk. Yes. Hockey talk.
I'm having my Blackhawks Giant mug today with my coffee to, you know, give a little inspiration to. Yeah.
Have you had coffee in that mug for one of their first four games?
No, I had a smaller one with the Blackhawks in the end.
You got to change up.
Maybe this will bring them good luck.
I hope so. They sure need it. But, God, how stupid was the management here in letting both goalies go? I'm sorry. These kids are all right, but they're not good.
They're all right, but they're not good. That's probably the best way to put it, Marilyn.
Yes. Well, we have no defense either. So, you know, Keith can only do so much.
And Duncan Keith can't do much anymore. Let's face it.
I don't know. He can still take the puck off the guy's stick while he's skating right in front of him.
Duncan Keith, to me, looks just as lost as the rest of them right now.
If anybody wants to blame the goaltenders
like
for
the
Hawks.
Well, yeah, the hair's sexy. I'll give him that.
I sent you the picture of it, and I was laughing because everybody was going, I didn't know we signed up Jesus now.
He looks like Thor or something with that hair right now. All right, Marilyn, thank you. Go Hawks. I hope they win, but they're...
I think the point is, if you're blaming the Blackhawk goaltenders here for what's happening, you're missing the big picture.
Their defense is awful.
Yeah.
Their goaltending is not particularly good.
Well,
they've had three goalies in four games.
Nobody said Ken Reggett is in the net.
The whole thing's Ken Reggett.
Patty Roy.
Ken Reggett.
Yeah. Nobody's saying they're in the net by any stretch of the imagination.
Mike, would we feel good if Ken Reggett was in the net?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel okay. You don't have Pelly Lindbergh. Lindbergh in the net.
No, you don't have Pelly. Pelly's not even alive anymore.
Yeah, well, that's a problem then. I think the point is,
they might be better off with Pelly Lindbergh.
If you look at this team and you want to blame the goaltending situation and what the problem with then you're missing the picture. You have missed the picture.
We have officially reached rebuild time, guys.
Officially.
Yeah.
You're late on your rebuild.
And that may be. There might have been like a little hope each of the last couple of seasons, you know, like there might like some. The Blackhawks are going to be one of the worst teams in the NHL.
Yes.
And it's going to be ugly.
Yes.
They're not good.
But we have Carlton, though. And we have Bowman.
Locked up. Carlton's locked up.
Wonderful.
Like 2-year extension, right?
I'm very interested in the Bulls this year. Believe it or not. Yeah.
Bulls play tonight, too. Bulls
I can't wait.
Action. You know, the Hawks are actually a favorite tonight because they're playing the Red Wings. They're not going to be a favorite very often. I got news for you.
Hey, money-making opportunity for...
bet the over. Cheer for goals. What were you going to say, Merck?
Carmen, I was going to say, before we get to Yurko's keys,
this
is an unbelievable tweet from Justin Turner. Gibson, Ford, Brock, Seaver, K-Line, Morgan, Negro, Lasorda, Sutton, and now Hammer and Hank. We've lost some of the greatest to ever do it this year. Tommy Lasorda is going to have a hell of a roster to manage.
That's
rest
true.
Rest in peace, legends.
It's a good tweet. Yeah.
And then also...
Don Sutton died this week.
Yeah, this week,
that was... we didn't even really acknowledge that.
John Heyman tweeted how the mighty have fallen.
Feller.
You know, the mighty... he tweeted that Jake Arrieta will throw a bullpen next week for teams for a tryout, basically. I mean, remember the argument was Jake Arrieta or... or Darvish?
Who had more wins for the respective teams?
Stop it. Here we go.
No, who had more wins for the respective teams? Look at Philadelphia. How many wins did he give Philadelphia? What did Darvish give the Chicago Cubs?
A five-inning pitcher now, Yerk.
Go ahead. I'm asking a simple question.
Five-inning pitcher.
Victories. Victories.
Please.
That's all I'm asking. Nobody wants to talk about that. Everybody wants to tell me how
Nobody
great he was.
Nobody wants to talk about what?
The greatest thing about you, Darvish, is he got you something back. The best thing you, Darvish, gave the Chicago Cubs is players back, and you've unloaded that crappy contract that you had.
Jake gave Philly a record of 22-23.
How many more victories then?
I don't know.
I'll tell you how many more victories, Carm.
Okay.
Seven more victories than you, Darvish, gave the Chicago Cubs.
He was
more victories than you, Darvish, gave the Chicago Cubs. And I'm not saying he was a better pitcher. Nobody's going to argue he was a better pitcher. You know what he was? A more productive pitcher.
Well, he didn't.
You need baseball reference. Yerko's got him right off the top of his head.
I get tired of the shots that Merkin wants to take the Calvin Johnson loving guy in the back, telling me stories with a fireplace and his beautiful socks on, telling me, remember the debate? It was a debate. This guy was 50% better in productivity than was you, Darvish.
All right. Well, he did stay a little bit healthy.
I'm tired of the crap.
Who had the better opponent's batting average?
Big deal.
Jake Arrieta was giving up like 7-8 hits every time.
I didn't say he was a better pitcher. I said he was a more productive pitcher. You clean that wax out of your ears. You finally washed your hair.
Jerky.
Go get yourself some Q-tips and clean the wax out of your ears. What the hell's going on?
Oh, come on now. No personal shots.
He can take shots.
Before we do that.
I didn't say anything about what kind of person he is.
Yes.
No, I didn't.
No.
Talked about his hair.
I don't care. I want to laugh real quick.
Now you
I'm
don't
laughing
care.
Anyway.
I'm now laughing. You don't care. I'm laughing you want a anyway? Piece of me?
No.
No, go ahead.
Listen,
let's go.
I want to play something because I don't want to miss this because it's too good and it's kind of gone around the internet. So maybe you've heard it and seen it already. And you should watch it because the expression on Chuck Schumer's face really kind of brings the whole thing together. Meller, it's not on my screen. Can you play? And this isn't some sort of a political statement. Believe me, we have.
Right.
That's not what we do.
No, we're laughing at.
But this is just too good
gotta
to not
giggle.
Play.
You got to giggle at it.
Do you have that, Meller? Yeah, go ahead.
Make no mistake. There will be a trial. And when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
I mean, his face. Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
He giggled.
And I think he knew. That's going to be all over
right.
the internet. We got it. But one more time, please. It's too much.
Make no mistake. There will be a trial. And when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the erection.
Yes.
Insurrection. Against the United
both.
States.
It was there an erection? I don't know what's on Chuck's mind, but.
Does make you laugh.
It does
make one giggle, doesn't it?
It was killing me. I saw it on Rex Chapman's Twitter. I couldn't stop laughing earlier this morning. Let's do Yurko's Keys to the Game. I don't know.
This is Yurko's Keys to the Game.
Trubisky stepping up, fires down the sideline. Robinson makes the catch.
Yurko gives us what to watch for in this week's Bears game.
And it's intercepted. Eddie Jackson under pressure again. Can he get away? No, he can't. Of course it's Mac.
Yurko's Keys to the Game, only on ESPN 1000.
Hey, listen, these keys are always so smoking hot, they might incite an erection. So just be prepared, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Yurko, I ask you, Championship Sunday, what should be two great games, four very, very good football teams left. What are the keys to the games?
Carm, I'm glad you asked. We're going to start one game, then we're going to go to the other. I think you're going to know which games we're talking about as we do it. Six total, three apiece. We're ready. Key number one, Tampa pressure up the middle. If Tampa can continue to get the pressure, pass rush pressure up the middle on Aaron Rodgers, it's going to cause problems for the Packers. The Packers got to find a way to subdue that pressure. That way he can sit in the pocket and peruse the field, what he likes to do. Key number two, productivity of complementary players. Hey, Devontae Adams is going to get you a little bit, right?
Phenomenal.
He's going to get you a little bit.
Might get you a lot.
But you're going to need the three running backs to be able to provide you pass receptions and rushing, and guys like Lazard. And Garland's like Equimanius St. Victor's or whatever Brown. His name is. St. Victor's. And the Exxon Valdez Scantling.
Yes.
Those guys are going to have to provide a little something. And my guy Tanyan, he's going to have to be able to give you guys something as you move forward. Key number three, turnovers. Kill the Bears. Kill the Packers in the first game.
Yes.
Turnovers. Kill the Packers. Help Tampa. Turnover battle. Important in this said game. For whoever's going to come out on top. Let's switch over to the Kansas City-Buffalo game. It's all about Mahomes. It's all about Mahomes. If Mahomes plays, Kansas City puts this thing in cruise control, and I don't think it's going to be an issue. Yes. Broken plays for Josh Allen. He does more on a little bit of a mini scramble or buying himself time, either with his legs and via the pass. Still a patient individual when there's chaos and pressure all around him. So those will be key for Buffalo. What kind of plays can he make when they're broken? And can Kansas City stop him from making those broken plays? And Buffalo gets... when Buffalo gets the lead? If Buffalo gets the lead, they have to stay aggressive.
Yeah.
You cannot your foot off the gas pedal. So the one thing that you might want to do subconsciously, you want to say, okay, let's be a little more conservative. You cannot be conservative against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
You've got to go into that game thinking we got to put up 56 points. I mean, that's how you got to go into the game.
They were down in every game last year in the playoffs, and they won them all by double digits. They covered in every one. So
those are the keys to this week's AFC-NFC Championship game.
Excellent, as always, by Yurko. Todd Furman live in Vegas when we come back.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate? This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Now there's just three games. That's it. Three games left in the 2020 NFL season. Championship Sunday in just a couple days. Always look forward to this weekend. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Make sure you download the app, catch up on shows if you missed them, any of the interviews. It's our time. It's a great time every Friday at 11:30 to talk to the one, the only Todd Furman. He is live in Vegas. He is at Todd Furman on Twitter. Make sure you check out his wonderful podcast, the Bet the Board podcast. Todd, you excited for the weekend?
I definitely am, guys. It's always fun, and especially when you have the quarterback matchups that we have. Ooh. Two seasoned vets taking the stage early in the NFC, and then, of course, the young guns and heir apparents in the AFC. It should be an awful lot of fun for these two tilts.
Let's start. I want to ask you something about Bills Chiefs. I know it's the second game, but I just want to ask you about the bookmakers releasing a line earlier this week. If this was the regular season matchup, let's say, Todd, and that was, I think, week 6 or 7, whenever that was, and in the prior game, Mahomes had gone out with that, concussion. He was in the concussion protocol. Do the books just leave that game off the board? Do they sit and wait? I mean, did they speculate best they could and make a line so that they'd start generating action on such an important game?
If this was a regular season game, even if it was played in a primetime slot on Monday night or Sunday night or Thursday night, there would be a 0.0% chance that this price would have been hung until we knew the status of Patrick Mahomes. Hmm. The dynamic in play here is all about generating interest and betting handle, and you could see some of that uncertainty as early as Sunday afternoon. We had books out here in the desert that made the Bills a 2.5-point favorite. Little to say that number didn't last. You had professional bettors going, I'm going to bet this thing now and figure out what to do with it later. Hmm. And here we sit with Kansas City, a 3-point favorite. And I think this number will tick even a shade higher when Patrick Mahomes is officially upgraded, because that casual fan out there, they're not price sensitive. They want to know that Mahomes is out there if they're going to back Kansas City. They're not running to lay this price at a field goal because they'll have no qualms about doing it at 3.5 or 4 either.
So if you like the Bills, wait. That's the advice, because it's only going to continue to go out probably north of a field goal?
Exactly. That would be my sentiment. There's no way that Mahomes gets upgraded in this game and you see the number come down.
Got it. Okay.
Packers, Tampa. Tampa's got to go up there this time. They beat up on the Packers earlier this year.
And when you look at this game, it's real interesting, Yurk, because a different dynamic was in play back in week 6, where you had a Green Bay offensive line that lost two of its key cogs during real action. And so you saw the Packers fail to make adjustments. They got up 10-0 in that game, and then Aaron Rodgers started to unravel a bit. Two essentially pick sixes, game flipped, and you could see the Packers more or less shut it down over the final 12 minutes. I remember that game all too vividly because I went over 51.5, thought I was sitting pretty, and watched that game completely die on the vine. More or less a microcosm for the NFL season on my end, but I digress. And when you look at this particular spot, so many questions about Tampa, especially in the secondary. You saw Taylor Heinicke have a lot of success throwing the ball deep and putting stress on some of those defensive backs. If the Bucs aren't able to bring pressure on Aaron Rodgers, this could be a long, long day. But at 3, 3.5, I think it's the perfect number here. I really believe you're going to see public and professionals actually making a case for the Pack.
What about the cold weather data for a game like this? According to Pro Football Reference's database, the Bucs are 1-16 all-time with the game-time temperatures below 32. In all likelihood, it will be. It'll be close probably, but game-time temperature looks like it's going to be about 30 Sunday afternoon at 2:05 in that game. Does that affect the way people bet the either the side or the total in this one, Todd?
It impacts perception more than anything else because while we know the Bucs have struggled as a franchise in this particular spot, Tom Brady hasn't. And if that's the one player you're most concerned about in adverse conditions, can he do anything in the week leading up to it to coach up some of his players? Unfortunately for Tampa, they're not practicing in cold weather. It's going to be a jolt to the system. So it's not as though this is the same thing as when he was a member of the Patriots. They would practice outside with frozen balls, cold sleet, everything else, and have them ready to go. But what's surprising is the forecast looks like it's clearing up. It's going to be cold, of course, as we know Lambeau is in January, but I don't anticipate a whole lot of wind or anything else. So I think both of these offenses should feel more than comfortable doing what they do best, throwing the football. The biggest question I have here is, will Green Bay stay committed to the ground game against that Tampa defensive front? And will we see the Bucs remain stubborn and look to establish Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette, knowing that you can run the ball against Green Bay between the tackles, but you could also throw it in the middle of the field as well?
Todd Furman's our guest live in Vegas, at Todd Furman on Twitter, the Bet the Board podcast. Is there any relevant data that we should be looking at for rematches? Of course, both these games are rematches from the regular season.
I think when you try and get too caught up in some of the rematch narrative, you get a little bit concerned, only because so much has changed between now and then. Green Bay, specifically the offensive line, much different dynamic. Meanwhile, that Buffalo game, Josh Allen was dealing with a shoulder injury in that particular spot. And you saw a Buffalo team that looked like they had prepared for Kansas City twice and just wasn't quite ready given the erratic nature of the schedule. So that's part of what you have here. When you look at how some of these teams have performed in the past, specifically in these spots, not enough data to go off of to make it a justification for trying to bet this. One thing I will say as it pertains to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're in a little bit of a spot that's precarious in terms of trying to win their third playoff game on the road in as many weeks. Since the wild card round began back in 1978, teams to be in this spot are just 5-12 against the number, 4-13 straight up. The last seven times it happens, 1-6 straight up, 1-6 against the spread. The Packers did this back in 2010, the Giants in 2007, Steelers 2005. Before that, it happened in 1985 with the Patriots, but we know how their season ended at the fate of the Bears.
Yes, we certainly do.
Big event for UFC this weekend. You got McGregor fighting Poirier. Who do you like in this side? And is there anything else on the undercard that you like?
You know, when you look at these big marquee fights in UFC Yerk, it's always interesting to look at some of the betting trends because typically what happens is folks that like Conor McGregor, the recreational bettor, they don't like the prospect of putting up $3 to make a dollar or 30 to win 10. So what they'll elect to do is they'll take McGregor, they'll figure out if there's basketball games during the day or if there's the NFL games that they love, and they're going to parlay him. So books won't take a ton of straight liability there. They're going to have a little bit of risk to Poirier because for folks that just want to watch and put up a little to make a lot, they're going to take a flyer on an underdog. They're going to go Connor could be rusty. I fully believe that this line move is going to suggest how this fight will go. We saw this price open as low as Connor minus $1.75. Numbers ballooned out to 3. I think Connor handpicked this particular fight because he wants another win under his belt, and we're going to continue to see if he can lure Khabib out of retirement, and that can be the fight that Dana and the rest of USC fans want.
All right, so any best plays you like for the weekend for Championship Sunday, Todd?
So I made one play on a total, and it's actually the first half over in Green Bay and Tampa. I think when you look at this Packers offense, they've gone over 14 points in 15 of their 17 games so far this season in the first half. We've talked at great lengths about Matt LaFleur and the script and exactly how dynamic they can be with play calling early on. I think getting Vita Vey back actually benefits an over here. And the reason I say that is Green Bay may be less inclined to try and run the ball between the tackles, put those DBs on an island. I think if you get Tampa playing from behind, this game could start quickly and maybe slow down. The Bills-Chiefs game, I made the game 3 with Mahomes, so if it gets to 4, I value bet it myself, but quite frankly, probably will not have a bet on side or total. Going to dig into the prop markets later today.
If Trevor Bauer signs with the White Sox, what would that... I mean, the White Sox, I think, are still about 4th or 5th choice. What would it do to the White Sox odds in the American League and the World Series if they signed Trevor Bauer?
It would change the dynamic quite a bit because you'd be talking about a team that now had a true number one bona fide ace atop their pitching staff, and you mentioned the odds that have been on the move for the White Sox all offseason. I mean, this was a team I've seen as low as 6.5, 7-1 out here in the desert.
Wow.
A lot of optimism there. We'll see how Tony La Russa meshes with a young core of players, and if he can relate to them, this team gets to be scary good, knowing that they've bolstered their bullpen and could potentially add yet another frontline starter in a division that I quite frankly don't think will offer much of a challenge. And when you look up and down the American League, other than maybe the Yankees, I don't think there's a whole lot of power there, unlike the National League, where you have the Dodgers, Padres, and maybe even the Braves to a lesser extent, kind of distancing themselves from the field.
Excellent stuff as always, Todd. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, gents. Best of luck with your picks this weekend.
Thank you, buddy. You too. Todd Furman, at Todd Furman on Twitter, simple enough. And check out his great podcast, the Bet the Board podcast. Mike North has a bonus play for us when we come back next.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Jump around, Yurk.
Yes, jump around.
He did it again last week. Mike gave out... You know, sometimes it hurts when you're picking against your team, but pick with your head, not your heart. And he said, OKC's the pick, guys. OKC. That's the pick. And with about 2 minutes to go, it looked like Mike's 9 or 10 game winning streak last Friday was going to end because the Bulls had about a 10-point lead. Well, guess what? OKC forced overtime and won. I texted Mike. I said, when you're hot, you're hot. I mean, that's unbelievable. Unreal. And the streak he's been on in the NBA is incredible. So Mike joins us now for the bonus play. And then remember, a full hour tonight after Black and Abdallah. Mike and I have odds couple, and we'll be all over Championship Sunday and some other fun stuff. So join us from 7 to 8 tonight for the odds couple. He is at North to North on Twitter. What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys? What's happening? Are we ready to go?
Are we ready for football? Yes.
Oh, are you kidding me? This is going to be outstanding. But... I don't have a football game for you guys. No, no. Now, last week's game was a miracle, okay?
It was incredible.
I was already putting together the presentation to be about how she had to go to the bank and, you know, something happened and it didn't work out. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm knocking on my guy's door going, where's the dough? Okay, they came out of nowhere. Oklahoma City just pulled that baby out from the Bulls. I think the Bulls have played better since then.
They have.
That was an epic collapse. I mean, it really, really was. They were up like 10 with like 10. 2 minutes.
Yes. The stats, yeah. I think the stats are like they had a 99.7% chance of winning or something like that, and the Bulls blew it. But they did bounce back with 2 wins after that. You're right.
Yeah, they did, and they're playing much, much better. Now, here, look, I don't give out the games. The system gives out the games. I wouldn't pick half these games. The system last night was brilliant. They gave me Vancouver. I just got the beating of my natural-born life. Montreal beat them 10-3, for God's sake. Okay, so it's not always ironclad, and I usually do pretty good in hockey, but I got one for you. I don't know where these two schools are. I know one was a high school on the south side. I guess it's a university, Marist versus Rider, which I thought was a wagon company. I don't pick these games out. I mean, I feed them in, and Rider is like 3-10, okay? And they're giving Marist 2 points. Figure that one out, guys. And
Marist must stink.
Marist is 6-1 against the spread in its last 7 road games. They're going on the road against this team who is 3-10.
Wow.
And yet I feed it into the computer and it gives me Ryder.
I have no idea
where the school's at. It gives me Ryder. They're giving Marist with a 7-5 record, okay, points. And they're 3-10.
So Ryder minus 2, is that what you said?
Yeah, and you're asking in the form of a question. Right. I like that card. You know, yeah, Ryder minus 2 is the play.
That's the play. Ryder minus 2 is the ball. Boy,
and
we're going deep tonight.
It's a 6 o'clock game.
I love it.
Nice little preliminary. You'll get a sweat going before the odds couple.
Perfect.
You know, get a lather going. And I have an absolute winner in one of the games, one of the football games. It's the strongest, one of the top 5 strongest plays of the year for me.
Damn, I love it. I hope I'm on the right side of that one later. We'll find out tonight. Michael, see you at 7. Thanks.
All right, Yurks, take it easy. Right, take care, Carl. Bye-bye,
guys.
See
you. There's Mike at North to North. Ryder, minus 2.
By the way, Rick Schmitz played at Marist.
Rick Schmitz did play at Marist.
Rick Schmitz played at Marist.
Good call,
Yurks. Let you know exactly who did play at Marist.
Before we're out of here at noon when Greeny comes up, we got a few other sound bites to play. We got some new Gronk tape in, or have we heard this, Merck? What is it?
It's from his press conference yesterday.
Just from yesterday.
You'll love it.
This is Gronk. Oh, here it is. I got it on my screen. I didn't see it, Mellor. I'm sorry. Here it is. Here's Gronk.
I'll go to Karen Garesian.
Hi, Rob.
Oh, Karen. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Where are you? Boston? This is crazy. You're zooming in our press conferences. This is nuts.
Well, it's our only way to have contact with you, so we'll take it.
All right. Hello.
He never stops working his magic, I tell you. I mean, he's special.
He doesn't know what Zoom is. He's like, Zoom, this is great.
I'm
you're zooming in from Boston?
I'm just glad he was awake, I guess. There's no great standard there. Just happy he's paying attention and is awake.
He's a treasure, man. I'd be genuinely upset and disappointed if anything bad ever came out about him, you know? I really would. Like, he just is a treasure. And
I don't know if he's going to end up like Hernandez. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's to the nth degree. That's to the nth degree.
It is. Yeah.
I meant any sort of anything, Yurk. You know, like, I don't want anything bad. He's too good.
Do you guys use
his water?
He's
too much of a treasure.
Do you guys use the water bottle that his family invented?
No.
My family has them. They,
right?
my wife and my daughter love them. He went on Shark Tank.
Oh, did he really?
The whole family went on Shark Tank and they got an investor.
He is just something, man. Gotta love him. The other thing that I guess has drawn some criticism was Shaq going after Donovan Mitchell.
After last night, Donovan Mitchell had a great game, 36 points, and Shaq asked this question.
Yeah, this is on TNT.
You are one of my favorite players, but you don't have what it takes to get to the next level. I said it on purpose. I wanted you to hear it. What do you have to say about that?
All right. That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I wanted you to hear it. I've been hearing, well, Shaq, I've been hearing that since my rookie year. You know, I'm just going to get better and do what I do.
Good.
At the end of the day.
Well, that's what I wanted you to hear you say.
Yes,
love
sir.
Your game, brother. Keep it up.
Appreciate it.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
Okay.
I mean,
I love the kid.
I do, too.
Whatever.
I love that. I kind of like Donovan.
Go sell more insurance. I don't care.
I like Donovan's response to that. I really do.
It's fine.
That's like an impossible situation that Shaq puts him in there.
Right.
I know Shaq thinks, okay, I'm not going to talk behind your back, so I'm going to tell you, you know, but the reality is he just had a good game.
Yeah. They won.
They're not in the playoffs. They lost a 7-game series last year where he was fantastic.
What will it take for you to get to the next level in the NBA? That's your question right there.
I really appreciate the way Mitchell handled that because, like Mellor said, it's kind of a no-win situation for him. So what did he do? And he eventually just said, okay, I've been hearing a check since I was in college, and I'll prove you wrong.
Like, I gave you the question.
Yeah.
There's the question. If you're an interviewee, don't make a statement. Ask a question.
Maybe Shaq wanted to present it that way. I don't know. It's a little sensational.
Was he fatigued?
I don't know. But good for Donovan Mitchell.
Wanted you to hear from me. Yeah.
I do love Shaq.
And I love Shaq, too, because when he held James Harden,
he's great.
Put Harden's feet to the fire, I enjoyed that soliloquy.
Good response by Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bulls are back in action tonight. They've won a couple in a row. Suns. I kind of like the Suns a little bit tonight, by the way. Laying a point at home against Denver. Denver's 0-4 against the spread on the road so far this year.
Do you play Here Come the Suns?
No.
When they come on.
Do you
put the Beatles on?
Mm-mm.
Here comes the Suns. To get you in the mood if you're going to bet the Suns. Wouldn't you want to have some musical accoutrement to what you've got going, like in your gambling action?
No, I never think of that.
I feel like you got a bevy of options. You could make a whole playlist of Sun songs.
Or the Philadelphia. Fly like an eagle to the scene. Fly like an eagle. Let your spirit carry me. You know what I'm saying? What would one do for the Packers if he's wagering on the Packers? What song is out there for the Packers or Aaron Rodgers?
Something with cheese.
Or anything. It could be anything. My point is, what would it be?
Cheeseburger in Paradise.
If that's what you like.
It's got cheese.
If that's going to get you rolling, I mean, I'm here for you.
Let's workshop that a little bit.
Nothing good on the Packers.
Well, I'm trying to spitball, guys, here. This is what I do.
Thanks to Todd Furman and Mike North. Thank you to Midway Jeff Meller, Jarrett Strauss, and Randy Merkin. And thanks for listening.
Who's in the Super Bowl?
Calling and participating. I'll say Packers-Bills.
Kansas City, Green Bay.
I like the Chiefs and the Packers.
Everybody going Packers?
I like Packers and Chiefs.
Everybody's going Packers. All right. You guys all like the Packers, Chiefs. We'll see. We'll talk about it Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Greeny's next. Waddle and Sylvia, too. Bleck and Abdallah at 6. And Mike and I have Odds Couple at 7 tonight. Have a good weekend.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia! Mamma mia!